98.5, The Sports Hub.
There's only one true superstar of the decade, true superstar of the millennium. You know who that is? The Rock will tell you who that is. Toronto, that is the jabroni beaten now, pie-eating, trailblazing, eyebrow-raising, stronger than a bear, faster than a buck, the biggest thing to hit Canada because the Maple Leafs suck.
Go! 98.5, The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. The Rock turning heel.
Yeah, not a big fan of Toronto.
Obviously not.
I mean, in that clip, at least.
That's right. Wrestler just wouldn't go up there and start saying.
No, not trying to rile up a crowd.
Right. Heel. The Bruins take on the Maple Leafs, obviously, tomorrow night. In what everyone is assuming is going to be a humdinger of a first round.
And the good news we mentioned earlier is you got Rick Nash out there skating. He was practicing with the team as well as Sean Corrali, which is obviously huge news. And as you were saying, I had not heard this yet, but Riley Nash is expected to play.
Well, from what I've heard, Riley Nash is expected to play, and people believe that that is the most important, that because that gets every line into place,
solidifies the bottom six,
right? That it gets every line back into place. Mm-hmm. So Riley Nash is believed to be the most important of the players returning, even above that of Rick Nash. So, anyway, when you have a team that's very popular, as are the Toronto Maple Leafs, they are a bellwether franchise, an original six franchise, mm-hmm. and the hockey capital of the world, Toronto, Canada, I believe that is safe to say, a city that was discussed having two teams, as was Detroit years ago. Because two millionaires were fighting each other over things. CompuWare and Mike Ilitch, they didn't like each other, so the guy from CompuWare was saying that he was going to get a team and move it to Detroit. But nonetheless,
mm-hmm.
You get songs. People get very passionate. They have to put it to songs.
You get excited Canadians. That's what you get. Now, to be quite honest, I'm very surprised.
They put mice in beer.
Yeah.
Excited Canadians.
You do.
Like it.
I have to be honest. I'm kind of shocked that there was not a Our Lady Peace or Nickelback or Tragically Hip song specifically written, or Bare Naked Ladies specifically for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Bare Naked Ladies doesn't have the fat guy anymore.
Oh, is that right? He's gone?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Oh, he's been, yeah, the rapper guy is now the
chicken to China is the Chinese chicken
the disgrace
guy?
Rapper guy is now the
not
elite
so
singer.
Fast, Fred. Not so fast.
The fat guy's back?
They reunited last Sunday night on the induction into the Canadian Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Oh, wow.
What did that look like?
Them in triumph.
The Juno Awards.
The Juno Awards.
Which are the Canadian equivalent of the Grammys, as they always have to say.
Wow. Right. That's right. They'll be right there with triumph.
I do find it funny that, like, in Canada, they have to play on Canadian radio a certain percentage of Canadian bands.
Yep. CanCon.
Yeah. What is it? Like, is it
close to 40%?
See, I thought it was like more than that. They're like 60% of all bands are required to be Canadian bands. That's a whole lot of Avril Lavigne. A
lot of Anne Murray.
That's a lot of Anne Murray coming your way. But either way, they are very excited. And when people get excited for their big team, we've seen it everywhere. We've seen it around here. They say we have to write songs. We have to get the people pumped. Now, this is not a guy in his basement. This is actually from a radio station in Canada. This was produced by a radio station in Canada in order to get the people of Toronto pumped for the playoffs. Let's take a listen.
Because you know I'm all about the Leafs, Maple Leafs, no Habs. I'm all about the Leafs, Maple Leafs, no Habs. I'm all about the Leafs, Maple Leafs, no Habs. I'm all about the Leafs, Maple Leafs, 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 Leafs.
Yeah, the Leafs are back. Pull out that blue and way I wear all that. Joffrey Lupul is where it's at. I'm here to tell you every inch of him is perfect from the bottom to the top. Yeah, my mama, she told me, don't worry about ticket price.
Okay, he's not even, like on beat or anything. Like, he's not even...
Are you sure they're being serious?
This is not a Mike behind the Mike Callahan person just from the outside. This is from the radio station.
This doesn't sound like they're being overly serious.
Maybe that's just the quality of Canadian radio.
Toronto's a pretty big city.
She says watching at home in your undies is just as nice.
Because you know I'm all about the Leafs, Maple Leafs, no Habs. I'm all about the Leafs, Maple Leafs, no Habs. I'm all about the Leafs, Maple Leafs, no Habs. I'm all about the Leafs, Maple Leafs, 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 Leafs.
Regardless of what they're doing, it was not
great.
Can you
imagine playing that at the arena to get people pumped?
Well, listen, we all have our different things that get us pumped.
They do. Now, digging through the archives, I did find out, and it almost seems that almost any team that has been around at least since the 80s has their own version of New England, the Patriots, and we.
Oh, boy.
Which, if you remember, of course,
the all-time best fight song ever.
Yeah,
ever.
That was just the worst response to the Super Bowl shuffle and the phenomenon that was that you could have possibly delivered.
Even back then, we knew it. There wasn't any like, yeah, go Patriots, we're in the Super Bowl, check out this song. There was none of that. It was like, oh, this is awful.
No. They had news teams.
I'm aware.
Singing it.
Yep. Who just, like, even the title of the song is awful.
Yeah.
New England, the Patriots, and we.
Yeah.
We'll be the best.
It was awful. We were copying everything. Remember, there was I Love New York. Remember that slogan? We had Make It in Massachusetts.
Okay.
It was even worse.
Well, that's not good.
Even worse than it sounds.
So right here, like in the 80s, everyone tried to like say, we're going to make this super cool rock video. And I found one that the Leafs put together. I have it right here, friend.
This is the background of every one of these.
Right. It's like the opening of Saved by the Bell, almost.
Yeah. You never hear that.
Oh, no. And they always have to have the guys in the studio recording it?
Yes. Oh, no. There you go, honey.
It's our natural instinct. We can take the hits. Keep coming.
A pile of love.
You know what? The saxophone is very popular in these songs.
Yes. And the production's the best, too, because it's got, like, the same production quality of, like, when Alf made a video. Like, Alf made a rock video.
There was an episode of Alf where he made a rock video.
Right.
And then the father just smoked crack and had gay sex.
Meg Shrek, was that his name or something like that?
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. He was found like a crack den, the father and Alf.
Yes.
That's right. Forgot about that.
Yes. That was what he did.
I mean, this is like the beginning of every failed 80s TV show. Parker Lewis can't lose.
They're two twins with different attitudes. Double trouble.
How's he going to deal with having 9 kids?
Who's the dad? My two dads. Coming at you.
Tonight. Was UPN even around?
Al tries to eat the cat tonight on ABC.
Tonight on That's Incredible.
Byron Allen buys the Weather Channel, which is actually happening. We will talk to Jeff Howe. He sat down with Robert Kraft, who's a big fan of Meek Mill, and just randomly showing up at prisons. And I don't know what's up with him.
Well, have you heard the new Meek Mill song? This is probably what Robert Kraft thinks it sounds like.
Oh,
this is what the kids are listening to. This is pretty hip if you ask me.
I like shoes. Here's the CBS Sports.
Here's the deal.
Okay, well, thank you. We appreciate it.
All right, that's the deal there, Robert Kraft. Unfair sentencing. Consistent probation with something we all have to fight about.
Mm-hmm. And when you get out, we're going to have one heck of a party.
I side with you in the Drake beef, Meek. Here's the Drake from Toronto. How it all fits together. Here's the CBS Sports Minute with Boomer Esiason, brought to you by Neighborhood Health Plan. Boomer says when it rains, it pours for the Miami Marlins.
It's exactly what your coworkers are going to be talking about today.
I am dizzy.
I'm really dizzy.
Thatcher and Rich.
Oh, my God.
Austin's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I always buy them lemonades.
That's cool with me.
98.5 Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Robert Kraft, owner of the Patriots and Meek Mill supporter.
Two billionaires worth $9 billion between them went to visit Meek Mill in prison yesterday. And then conveniently had a podium out in front of the jail so they could talk. And listen, the probation process can be unfair. And we can all draw our conclusions about the infatuation the judge has with Meek Mill. And Robert Kraft is there to sort everything out. Big fan of the hip-hop game. Been in it for a long time.
Somebody said, rumor has it, Kraft asked Meek if jail ever got old. And Meek's response was, do you ever not like having a nice grilled hot dog sliced?
Well, that was what... He had to keister a hot dog for Meek Mill. I put it in a saran wrap.
Is that what he did? Okay.
Yeah. And then he sliced it down the middle.
Okay.
When they were at the bench.
I can see that. But someone who has been spending time with not Meek Mill, but Robert Kraft, is Jeff Howe, who, by the way, I signed up this morning. I finally got my subscription to The Athletic. I will be receiving, hopefully, my free T-shirt that I get for signing up sometime
soon. You got to wear that everywhere so people know that you're a big shot.
That was 30% off, and I get the T-shirt, too, so that's nice.
That's right. All right, so Jeff Howe covers the Patriots now for TheAthletic.com. Hello, Mr. Jeff Howe.
What's up, guys? Appreciate it. You're going to love the T-shirt. I wore it myself.
Yeah, I wonder what. That's like putting a bumper sticker of your station on your car. That's like wearing a Kiss T-shirt to a Kiss concert. But nonetheless, you sat down with Robert Kraft, and that had to be very exciting. And the second part of the story comes out today. We have it right now in front of us. But yesterday, it was interesting. He talked about Tom Brady and. Talked about the possibility of him retiring before the age of 45. What did you get out of that? Were you surprised about how much Robert Kraft's attitude towards Tom Brady has changed a little bit in terms of when he'll stop playing?
Well, that was sort of the unknown, and I think it's going to be an unknown. It's probably still an unknown for Brady. I don't think that's a decision that he's prepared to make right now, and I think he was pretty candid about his emotions in the Tom vs. Time documentary, especially at the conclusion of it. And I think part of that is it goes back to the message that Bill Belichick always gives to his players to not share any feelings after the season, especially when it ends in a loss on that type of stage. So that sort of played into it. But I asked Kraft and directly, I said, look, this year or last year at this time, you said you had just spoken to Brady and he said that he was still trying to play until he was about 45 years old. Do you still feel as strongly that his feelings are the same in that regard? And that's when he gave me the I hope he plays quote that was toward the end of that story. But the other part of that, which I thought was the more newsier part, was the lack of a contract extension to this point, because Brady always signs a new deal with 2 years remaining. The only exception over his entire career has been in 2010, which was with 1 year left, and that was because the year before he was coming off the torn ACL. And Kraft said that neither side had an issue with it, and if it becomes an issue, which basically I read to believe is, or read to mean is Brady saying, I don't want to play into this deal, I want a new contract, then they would resolve it. And I also have found out in that story that Brady is willing to, or would most certainly entertain contract talks if the team were more proactive about their approach. So it sounds like something where the two sides would be happy to get something done. It's just who's going to make the first move.
Well, that's weird. I mean, because the reason it's so strange is this is a pairing with a great relationship. I think you put in your article yesterday that it was Robert Kraft himself who negotiated his last extension. So why the hesitation on either side? Is it a hesitation for wanting to play on Tom Brady's side? Or wanting to play past the end of his contract? Or why? Just essentially, it comes down to why the hesitation on both sides, especially when they have such a great relationship.
I think Kraft basically answered that himself, whether it was on purpose or inadvertently. I asked about the contract status, and the first thing he said was he'll be 41 at the start of the next season.
Yeah.
So the age is the factor, just like it was when we asked Belichick about the Garoppolo pick in 2014. So the Patriots have to think about that, and maybe they're not going to be as proactive as they had been in the previous five contract extensions with him. And then on Brady's side of it, I mean, it could be any number of things. It could be a situation where he has, you know, I mean, the age that he's at, he doesn't want to put the Patriots in a bad spot. Let's say he decides that he really does only want to play year to year. Or let's say he's really only thinking, hey, you know what, maybe 2 years from now is a more realistic retirement age than I was originally thinking at 45. And I don't want to put the team in a bad spot with a longer contract that kind of hampers their cap a little bit with any dead money if I walk away. So maybe he's thinking along those lines. Or maybe he's thinking, I was just the MVP of the league, had the team scoring 33 points in the Super Bowl, and I'm going to go out and I'm going to play at the same performance. And if I do, they'll bargain with me next year if I want to sign a new deal. Or again, you know, when you find out that he would entertain it if they want to be more proactive, maybe he just wants them to show the respect of bringing him to the table after a long and trying year. Could be that angle, too.
Now, Jeff, we heard over the past week or so about the story of Rob Gronkowski getting ripped on by Bill Belichick during a training camp about his relationship with Alex Guerrero, and that kind of started the whole rift between Belichick and, or not started, but it was essentially something you could point at, which was a major example of why there is somewhat of a rift right now between Belichick and Rob Gronkowski. Do you believe that any of that type of sentiment resides in Tom Brady towards Bill Belichick? And do you think that that has anything to do with the hesitancy to try to get a contract extension?
I don't think that would bleed into the contract extension talks, but, you know, that's just me going off my gut. I mean, I'd be surprised if Tom Brady seems like the type of guy who really doesn't want to have any regrets with his NFL career. And I don't think he would be thrilled with himself if 20 years from now he looked back and said, you know what, I had five good years, but I was kind of angry at this one guy, so I only wanted to get two. You know, I don't think that would be the type of guy. He wants to maximize his potential and everything that he can accomplish on the field. Any sort of ill will that he had with Belichick, I mean, there was some there last year. There's no denying that. I can't speak to the level of it or how it ranks in comparison to Gronkowski. I mean, I think Belichick has said it time and again, he's not an easy guy to play for, and he's been open about that. And sometimes it wears on guys, and sometimes it creeps up from season to season. Sometimes it's perfectly fine, and it doesn't. So, you know, like any sort of coach-quarterback relationship, those guys spend a ton of time together, so they're going to have some disagreements. And Robert Kraft admitted that the three parties all had their end-of-season meeting just to make sure that they could iron out their differences. So, again, I don't think that would bleed into how long Tom Brady wants to stay on the field. I mean, if it gets to the point where 2 years from now he's like, you know what, I'm just not having fun anymore or whatever, I mean, I think that's all part of the retirement decision, as it always would be with any player. But it's so hard. I don't think Tom Brady I still don't believe that Brady's made the decision to how long he really wants to play. I don't think he's the type of guy who would have the, you know, Derek Jeter retirement tour or anything like that either.
What do you make of Robert Kraft personally doing Brady's contract?
It's always sort of been an exception to the rule. And that was a casual conversation that they sort of had a couple of years ago in 2016 during the offseason. Basically about a month after the Super Bowl, where I think Kraft said, hey, this is the deal I want to do. And Brady looked at it and said, all right, yeah, I can accept that. And then they basically kicked it up the food chain to Casario and the agents, and they made sure that it got done. So that's sort of how they've kind of handled it. I mean, Kraft has done it from time to time. When Devin McCourty was on the brink of free agency a few years ago, Kraft stepped in and said, you know what, the budget was this, but I don't want you to leave, so I'm going to give you this deal. So he has handled some contract negotiations to an extent in the past. So it's not, I guess it's rare overall considering the amount of contracts they execute, but everything, I guess, sort of has to be signed off by Kraft, you know, as well. But, I don't read anything too much into that, I guess.
You don't see it as Robert Kraft, it's Brady and Kraft kind of
and then it's everyone
else. Belichick's on the outside?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to turn that part into a soap opera.
Okay.
Mm. All right, well, you'd be better doing that.
Yeah, more clicks.
I mean, if you want to get the Athletic off the ground.
Hey, can you stay through the commercial break? I want to ask you about the thing you just came out with today. It's got more information about Rob Gronkowski. You talked to Robert Kraft about him. We haven't even talked to you about that yet. Would that be okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, great.
All right. You're on hold now,
sir.
Here are the headlines. We'll be back with Jeff Howe.
Thatcher and Rich.
Five to Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. Jeff Howe from The Athletic talked to Robert Kraft. It's a two-part situation. The second part is out today. Jeff Howe, hello again.
What's up?
What's going on? All right, Johnny Wallgame, go ahead.
We were talking about Robert Kraft's conversation with Rob Gronkowski and how he doesn't seem to be worried about Gronk's retirement talk or the retirement talk surrounding him.
Yeah, that's true. And this, the way I phrased this question was at the owners' meetings when he was asked about Gronk, he basically just sort of, I don't want to say he dodged the question, but he basically just started, I mean, he kind of did. He didn't really answer whether or not Gronk was going to play. He basically said that he saw him at the facility and, you know, then talked about how funny it was to see him jump on Shaq's shoulders. So I was like, look, you know, that was all well and good. I just wanted to get a little more clarity. Has Gronk given you any assurances that he will indeed play for the team in 2018? And Kraft was like almost taken aback by the question. He was just like, you know, it's not even an issue for me. And he said it pretty poignantly. So then he kind of got into, again, seeing him at the facility and just their relationship. So I just thought the way that Kraft answered the question, the fact that Gronk's retirement speculation, which Gronk put on the table himself after the Super Bowl, has not even, again, as Kraft said, it's not an issue for him. So I have to take that to mean that Gronk is playing in 2018, which I think is something that we've all sort of believed for a few weeks at this point now. But I mean, I'd be shocked. I would take this to believe that the Patriots would be blindsided if Gronk all of a sudden decided to retire at this point.
What about the restructuring of a contract? Because it obviously seems that that's one thing that Rob Gronkowski would like, and that's more money, seeing that everyone else around him is getting more cash. Was there any kind of indication as whether or not Robert Kraft would be willing to do that?
I'm sure he would be. I was told a few months ago, shortly before the Super Bowl, that there was some sort of pre-negotiation discussions about that on the table. I'm not sure how far it had really advanced or if it was just something that both sides were like, yeah, you know, whatever, we'll wait until after the season. But, I mean, it makes sense because last year, because he maximized those incentives, he made $10.75 million. This year, he's due to make $9 million in salary, or I think it might be $8 million base plus $1 million incentive. Whatever it is, he's going to make $9 million this year. I forget how it's all structured. So he's going to make less money this year than last year, and that's an easy way for the team to come and say, hey, you know what, if you want to make an extra $2, maybe $3 million, lay out the same exact incentive-laden structure in order to make you happy. I think that's a perfectly reasonable thing to do.
What are they going to do about the quarterback situation? You raise that with Robert Kraft, and he's always looking for continuity and looking into the future. What is your belief how they're going to address that situation?
I still think they're going to draft one. I think the whole world would be shocked if they didn't. But I thought it was interesting that Kraft, and I wholeheartedly support this decision. I mean, Kraft basically made it sound like they weren't going to force it in the draft, which is important. You can't force it at the quarterback spot. If you don't have that guy at the end of the first round that you truly love, you can't just draft the best player available and hope that in 3 years he turns into the franchise. You can't waste a pick like that. So if it comes to that, I mean, maybe they address it later in the draft. I mean, again, if the guy that they love, let's just use Mason Rudolph as an example because he's the easiest one. If he's there at 23 and they love him, I'm sure they'll take him. If he's there at 23 and they're not entirely sure about him, I don't see why you would put yourself in a situation where you just, you know, take the pick and hope that it works out. That's never really been the Patriots' motto. And how often does that work out for any team, especially at the position? So, you know, you got to make sure you got the right guy at the end of the first round. And if he's not there, you don't take him. And then you just sort of address the position later and see, if the guy can come in and compete and grow into something. And if he can't, then you look at other alternatives. And it was funny because at the end of that quote, the Kraft said, he was like, well, look at San Francisco and what they got. Who could have predicted that? Well, I mean, it's San Francisco got their franchise quarterback by a trade deadline trade that really is a pretty unconventional way of going about getting your franchise quarterback. So I think all options are on the table. And this, you know, another example, not that I'm saying this is going to be the route the Patriots take. They've been pretty hot on Johnny Manziel this offseason. So this is just a situation where they're making sure that they check every single box to make sure they can find the right guy at the end of this process.
All right, so this offseason, it's now, you know, there's finally someone who has spoken out or at least has publicly posted things that are anti-the Patriot way. Not anti-the Patriot way, but Rob Gronkowski obviously upset with the way Bill Belichick has been running things and use him as an example during training camp with the training. Does that open the door for more dissension in the locker room when you hear about people like superstars, world players like Rob Gronkowski speaking out, or at least not speaking out, at least it being well known that they have made a stand against Bill Belichick?
I mean, if it's unresolved, and I think Belichick is a guy, I mean, clearly this guy is smart enough to know he's a strong enough leader. That track record has been well established for decades at this point, that he's not going to allow that type of situation to continue if it's an unworkable relationship. And when you've got a guy like Gronk, who is, I mean, by all accounts, the second most important player in that locker room, you can't have him, who is a guy who's a captain, has been a captain for a couple of years now, coming back into the off-season workout program, you know, running around doing whatever he wants because of his personality and the way that he can carry himself. So I'm sure, excuse me, when Belichick said a couple of weeks ago at the owners' meetings that he's had conversations with Gronk and he's obviously not going to share those. Now, yeah, that's a company line that Belichick always says, but I think we can all guess what those conversations are. It's, all right, let's make sure that this situation is in the past, because if it bleeds into this season, it can become a situation where, you know, it's not going to help the team, and he could be, again, worst-case scenario, he could be the next Jamie Collins, a guy that, all right, you know what, I'm telling you to do the same thing 100 times. Yeah. If you're not going to do it, I'm going to trade you to the Browns.
All right, Jeff, it seems that there are more moving parts surrounding the Patriots than at any time in the last 15 years. I don't think it's a stretch to say that. Based on your conversations with Robert Kraft and what you see with contract issues with Gronk and with Brady, and with Josh McDaniels kind of waiting there in the wings, you go into details with that in your latest article for your first article, big one for The Athletic. How close do you think we are to a change in the Patriots organization where we won't see the consistency that we've seen for the last decade and a half?
Well, that's the word that Kraft likes to mention, consistency. He doesn't want there to be any real drop-off if he can help it. And I think that's why he played the role of mediator with the whatever issue that Belichick and Brady had after the season. And that's why it was important for him to keep Josh McDaniels. And not just this season, but last season he made sure he kept him happy by giving him a raise. So when faced with losing Matt Patricia to the Lions, he didn't want to get his coaching staff, you know, seized, I guess, by the Colts, because if McDaniels left, there was going to be at least one or two others who left with him. So it was important there. And I mean, I haven't gotten any sort of indication how long Belichick will coach. I mean, I've probably said it to you guys in the past, and I still believe it. I truly believe that Belichick and Robert Kraft are the only people on the planet who know how long Belichick really wants to continue doing this thing. So you look at the way Belichick has handled himself this offseason. He's at every pro day. He's still as lively as he ever is. He's talking to the media for a third time since the end of the Super Bowl on Friday. I mean, the guy has plenty of gas left. So I don't know if there's an end in sight. I asked, and if there is, again, I think there are only two people who know about it. I asked if, because he got this McDaniels situation resolved in such dramatic fashion, does this point toward, and I know this isn't a question that he can answer candidly because it's a violation of the Rooney Rule, that you can't tab the next coach, but is that something that he hopes is the ultimate result? And again, he just circled back to the consistency element. He didn't want to lose both coordinators. They love McDaniels. He's the best offensive coordinator in the business. And Belichick was happy to keep him. Kraft Brady are happy to keep him. So when you got those pieces in play, you know, he said, like Kraft said at the end of the story, he's very optimistic about the future. And there were a handful of reasons why.
All right, Jeff Howe from The Athletic sat down with Robert Kraft. Thank you for the time, sir.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, see you,
we appreciate it. Go get your T-shirts today at TheAthletic.com.
It comes free. Can't wait.
All right, we will return in just a moment.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. Last night, the final season, abbreviated season of New Girl started. 3 years into the future. My wife has barely even watched any New Girl, and we sat down last night, and it was happening all too fast, and so I stopped, and I said, all right, I got to watch this tomorrow when I can wrap my head around it. And she got mad at me. And to that, I said, you don't even watch the show. So we're watching it. I go, this is not about you. This is about me. This is a process that I have to go through. You understand? It's all coming at me too quick at 9:30 at night, which is not the usual time for New Girl.
Mm-hmm.
It usually was on earlier. And so now you're throwing all this at me. I need time to stop it and go back the next day and really bring it in. If I have to rewind some things, Winston, there's the subtleties that I'm not getting. Apparently, he's wearing fish shirts now instead of bird shirts. He's passed Wallach and gotten into the fish territory.
Mm-hmm.
But it was all happening so quick, and then she starts yelling at me.
She started, why? Yelling? Really?
Screaming at the top of her lungs. No, she wasn't screaming, but she was like,
I want to watch this. We were already watching.
I said, what do you care? This is not about you. I have eight of these. Let me digest them. You don't go and watch 2001 Space Odyssey and have someone screaming in your ear.
No, you can't do that.
No, you don't read the great works of Shakespeare and have someone standing over you. I got 4 hours of New Girl left. That's with commercials. Do Nick and Jess get engaged? I don't know. Schmidt and Cece have a kid. I know that. Three years old. Winston got the police officer pregnant. They're married. I mean, I got what happened over the last 3 years. I mean, they did a time jump.
Do we know if all the episodes are going to take place in the future, or is it just this one?
No, they're all in the future.
Okay.
My wife just texted, oh, stop. No, I won't stop. Some things are bigger than a marriage.
By the way, speaking of TV shows, we were talking yesterday about T.J. Miller from Silicon Valley, and he's the guy who plays Ehrlich Bachman, great character on the show. He's in the Deadpool movies. He's doing some other things right now, and there was an article that came out that Fred was referencing where Mike Judge, the creator, the guy who did Beavis and Butthead, also does Silicon Valley, was talking about how he would show up drunk to the set. Everyone liked him because they thought he was really funny. When he would show up, he would kill, but he would like slur lines. And,
no, they hated him.
No. They said he was, I think they liked him, no, but they hated that they made him wait around.
They hated him.
You see, I didn't get that from that article.
They said that things are much better now. No, did you read the interview?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, they said that things are way better now that he's gone.
Yeah, things run smoother, but they said that he would show up late and everyone would be waiting around, but when he showed up, he'd kill it. No, and everyone liked the guy generally.
Oh, well, they hated him.
But either way, he's got issues. And yesterday, it was reported in the New York Times that, I guess, from a show, was he leaving? I think he was leaving, like, D.C. and heading to New York or New York to D.C. But either way, he called in a bomb threat on the Amtrak train that he was on after he got in an argument with a woman and called in and said that this woman had something suspicious in her bag that he thought was a bomb. So the train had to get pulled over and everyone had to get off the train and inspect it. And they ended up finding out that the guy had been drinking. He said he'd only had like one glass of wine, but he was drunk and he got arrested for making a bomb threat and could serve up to 5 years in prison.
Yeah. He's in trouble.
That is a gentleman who obviously
he was on the train and he got in a fight with this lady, and they said that he was being like outrageous, that he kept slamming drinks. He got on the train, he was drunk, he kept slamming drinks, and then he started getting loud and feisty, and then so when he got off the train, He called in and he said the woman he got in a fight with, he said that he believed she had a bomb in her bag. So they're in Connecticut, and the train has to stop, and everyone has to get off. So, T.J. Miller is dealing with some stuff. He's had a lot of stuff recently, if you go into the past.
Yeah. He's not making very wise business decisions either. And I think not leaving Silicon Valley, but messing up the one great thing that he had going for him, other than the Deadpool thing, but he's like a side character. But he was like a main character on a very successful HBO show. How you can mess that up is ridiculous.
That only had one season left, and all he had to do was ride through that one season.
And that was it.
Yep. And as good as Silicon Valley is, it's not something that needs to be digested like New Girl. And now my phone is going crazy. Because I dare to speak out and say that, you know, some things are bigger than marriage. And I don't know how my wife can, it's not about her again. It's about digesting. There was a lot going on. Too much. Too much to take in at 9:30 at night on a Tuesday. I need to sit down. Get out a notepad. Connect the dots. Mark Zuckerberg, he was in front of the government yesterday. He had a big, getting interviewed. Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz said that.
Whatever that clip was.
Yeah, he got a lot of confusion.
It was awesome. It was Mark Zuckerberg talking to a bunch of people who don't know much about this technology stuff.
Yeah, with Facebook, which is very new.
Just blowing the minds of people.